last night as the Israeli Prime Minister was meeting with the American President in Washington. Families of hostages held in Gaza gathered outside the U.S. Embassy branch in Tel Aviv. The demonstrators called for a comprehensive hostage and ceasefire deal, holding signs such as "Hostages are waiting." Some displayed a photo installation and slogans urging Washington's intervention. The protests coincided with indirect ceasefire talks in Doha, with families emphasizing that any deal must include the release of all remaining hostages, not just a partial truce. Protesters, of course, were hoping to elevate the hostage issue on the diplomatic agenda. And joining me now on the line from Israel is Udi Goren, who is a cousin of Tal Haimi, whose body is still being held in Gaza, and also an active voice in the Hostages and Missing Families Forum. Udi, it's always such a pleasure to chat with you, and I always want to start off by asking you, how are you coping? Because you seem to be available 24/7, ready to talk to the media, and you're going through your own personal anguish of waiting and hoping that your cousin's body will be returned from Gaza.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. And, you know, really, we as in the hostage families, we're at this pause in life, in this limbo state. So, you know, when you say that I'm available 24/7, you're pretty much right, because at the end of the day, what most of us do most of the time is try to do whatever we can in order to end this catastrophe, influence whoever can be influenced. And you described it right. We are now at a point where there is a possibility for a resolution to this conflict, where there is a possibility to reach a deal. And we want to emphasize that it needs to be a deal for all the hostages and not just part of them.
Any word in terms of what is the latest that is being agreed upon? I mean, last time we spoke to you, I think it was 10 hostages and a phased process. Do you have any update on what the latest ceasefire discussions are suggesting about the hostages?
All of the discussions are some kind of a variation on this deal. And at the end of the day, we are at a point where one of the sides needs to decide that this is it. And on the one hand, we could have Hamas say, this is it. We're going to put our arms down and we're going to stop the suffering of the Gazan people and we're going to return all the hostages and this is it. This is the end of the war. However, they are a terrorist organization. And as they've acted until now, proving that they have absolutely no regard for lives at all, not just Israeli lives, also Palestinian lives, I really have very little expectations of them. And on the other hand, the reason that we speak to the Israeli government and we ask them to stop the war at this point is because stopping the war means that we are prioritizing and that we are now decisive on bringing all the hostages back. And afterwards, we will have to keep coping with Hamas no matter what. We cannot allow Hamas as they were. If they keep on being the threat that they were, we can't allow that to happen. We can't have October 7th again, but we just have to prioritize. And this is why we are speaking to the Israeli government, asking them to stop the war, because that's the only way to bring all hostages back.
Udi, when you say bring all hostages back, I'm not trying to make light of that, but the latest reports, as I was mentioning, the release of 10 living hostages and 18 bodies. Are the hostage families saying bring everybody back or no one? Or are you prepared to have the 28 that the reports seem to suggest is going to be in the ceasefire?
We will never say no to a deal, because if somebody can be back, if one life can be spared, if one family can end its suffering, then it must happen. And we will not stop and we will not stand in the way of that. However, we don't see why. We don't see why there shouldn't be a deal that brings everybody back home. The mere suggestion that we can only bring half back, that's what we're going against, because we need to end this.
Is it possible, and as much as I shudder to say this, but is it possible that the reason Hamas is cloistering around half is that they don't actually know where some of the bodies are?
First of all, we are at this point fairly certain that some of the bodies will not be found. It has been so long, and it has been Gaza has been through war. And some of the bodies might not be found. But that is not the reason. And at the end of the day, there is really one issue at hand. And everything else is just background noise. And the issue is, how does this war end? And if, as long as Israel says, and you know, you could argue that, rightfully so, that it will only end the war when Hamas is no longer in power, no longer a part of ruling Gaza, then we will not see all the hostages back. On the other side, as long as Hamas says we are not leaving Gaza, we will not put our arms down, then Israel will not back down. And then again, we will not see the end of the war and the last hostage. And this is where it is. This is where it is.
Udi, would you agree that there is a kind of sense that the hostage issue is falling down the global agenda? I mean, do you feel that the Israeli public is still mobilized on the hostages?
It's a very good question. On the one hand, we see people out in the street with us all the time. You've mentioned the rally we held yesterday in front of the American embassy, and there were hundreds of people with us. And that is not the main rally, which is held every Saturday, which people still come in the thousands. But after a year and a half of war, some of it, you know, has been not just the months following October 7th and the times where there was a war against Hezbollah and then Iran, and you know, it's a year and a half of the Israeli public struggling. And a lot of people are just tired, or they just want to see the end of this. And this comes through not only in, you know, people saying end the war, but also in people not being able to mobilize themselves.
Udi, I was chatting earlier about, I'm not sure if you're aware of the story, you probably are, that on early Saturday, a young Israeli, Daniel Edri, killed himself. And that was after two of his close friends were murdered at the Nova Festival on October the 7th, and after he spent some 18 months in reserve duty fighting both in Lebanon and Gaza. And his mom said that he just couldn't get over the nightmares and he couldn't recover from the post-traumatic stress disorder that he had encountered. Is he the extreme, or is he representative of what a lot of people in Israel are going through?
No, he is definitely not the extreme. Of course, you know, someone taking his own life, that in itself, of course, is extreme. I don't think it's very prevalent. But when you have such an intense war going on for so long, people serving hundreds of days in reserve duty, then you're bound to have people suffering from PTSD. And when you have, you know, hundreds or thousands of them, then obviously some people take it harder than others. And this is one of the major impacts of a prolonged war. I come from a family, my father fought in the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago, and he lived through most of his adult life with PTSD, and luckily he was treated and recovered, and he was able to build, you know, a family and a home and find work and be a very productive and successful adult. But for many people who have a harder time coping, or don't get the right treatment, or don't get the right treatment on time, then it could get very, very bad. And this is one of the major, major issues that Israel will be dealing with in the next, I wouldn't even say decade, several decades.
Udi, one last question. I know you told me before that your cousin Tal Haimi has been killed and that his body is being held in Gaza. Do you believe you will get his body back?
Yes, absolutely. Tal has only one, there's only one place in the world where his final resting place should be, and that is the grounds of the kibbutz that our grandparents built, where he lived, where he raised his family, and where he died defending his family and his community. And we will not rest until he is back home.
Udi, I have tears in my eyes. I mean, you are just one family of so many who have been affected by what's happened. And thank you. Thank you for your strength and that of the families. It continues to move and inspire all of us. We stand with you, and we won't stop saying their names until every last one of them is home. Thank you.